This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney nationwide, CBS Sports Radio. What's happening? Hope all's well. Hope you guys are doing great. On a busy Thursday around the country, Tiki and I come to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time. Rocket can. All right, a couple of things we'll get to coming up as we get a little deeper into the show. The Padres all in, preemptively brilliant or potentially disastrous. 14 years for a great player, but that is a lot of cheese and a lot of cheese for a team that doesn't have a huge revenue stream. We'll hit that. Also, Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence. Some scouts are saying, yeah, as crazy as that sounds, I love Wilson. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go that far, although I could be. But we'll get to that conversation. Think this is nice. I don't know, quite frankly, if we've ever had our next guest on our show. I know that we certainly crossed paths a lot back in the day locally. You as a Giant, me doing stuff in New York, watching his rise from a distance. It's been a real pleasure. I think he's really good at what he does. You want to call him a reporter, an insider. I think it's an analyst who just happens to have a ton of connections. And his name is Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. Good Morning Football and on the weekends. Obviously, always active on social media. Mike, what's going on, man? How you been, buddy?
What's up? It's good to catch up with two old buds here. You're not old. I'm old.
Well, we're not young.
You guys aren't aging.
Yeah, we're not old.
We're
definitely not young either.
Wait, hold on, T. Before you jump into the stuff, Mike, I got to ask you something, all right? So, by the way, I think the last time I saw you was at that Uptown in Hoboken when we were up there at that pizza store at like midnight. I think I bumped into you. I think that's the last time I saw you in person. But I noticed a while ago, and I'm like, wow, Mike's finally going all in. You shaved the head, dude. You shaved the head. And I thought it was a money move. You got the nice scruff like I like to rock, but I shave the top of my head all the time. You kind of keep the sides a little bit. You got to, you know, you're kind of in between. And I feel like a year ago, like you committed to the blade all around for a minute, but then you went back to the old look. What happened, man?
No, it's so funny you're talking about this because the other day this came up. I went to a barber because I do it myself, and I went to a barber, and I said to the woman, I said, hey, here's how I do it at home. I said, I use this quarter-inch clip to kind of keep a little bit on the sides. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know. And she took the blade to the back of my head, and I felt her, and I was like, uh-oh, I just felt the cold metal, and I said, that's too short. And it was the day before one of our shows, so I kind of leaned into it. We did a whole poll on Twitter.
Okay.
And people voted for the shorter look.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite like bicked, but it was, you know, the no clip on the trimmer.
Yeah.
And the only vote that mattered was my wife, who said, no, go back to letting it grow in a little bit.
Okay.
So that poll was for nothing.
Gotcha. I got you.
Forget what the people say. Who cares? but it feels like, Mike, that the people were pushing Carson Wentz out of Philadelphia, that's for sure. And this deal finally gets done. We knew that it was inevitable, and the Colts seemed to be the only bidder in the Carson Wentz, I don't want to call it a race to get him because I don't think there were that many people clamoring. But at the end of the day, I feel we talked about this. This is win-win-win for everybody. That really the only risk is on Carson Wentz, though, because the way that his deal is now muted because the signing bonus money, salary cap hit isn't there anymore. Like, he's really got to play good right away. And this could still derail for Carson Wentz if Frank Reich can't, quote unquote, fix him, right?
Financially, he's going to make he's already made a good bit. He'll make a good bit more. I got to go back over the details. I feel like he's got guarantees into 2022, if I'm not mistaken. There's no more excuses, right? And I say that, and I'm the one that's always accused of making excuses for the guy because I've been there and I've covered him and I've seen. You know, he hasn't had his top targets. I mean, between Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar was hurt there at some point, and I'm missing somebody else. Somebody else. Jalen Reagor got hurt this year, the first-round pick. This year was the tight ends, yeah. Ertz and Goddard both went down.
Yep.
And so, you know, to me, the guy hasn't had his full complement of weapons since way back in 2018. Combine that with, listen, it's a trickle-down effect. Like, it starts with Nick Foles. It starts with the ACL. And then Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, and he's kind of got that on the back of his mind and trying to cope with all that and trying to lean on his faith to kind of help him through that and understand why did this happen. They let Foles go, but that's, you know, always kind of hovering over you when you got that guy who won the title, and everybody remembers that in town. He gets hurt again with the back and doesn't finish the season. He gets a concussion in the playoff game. That messes with him a little bit because he never got to finish. It's like another season I didn't get to finish. Will I ever be healthy, fully healthy? And now it's my brain. And then you combine that with Jalen Hurts. I mean, look, the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. And I had questions for them when they did it privately. And they said, no, this guy's going to come in. He's going to be a weapon for us. Wait till you see. He's going to be Taysom Hill plus. And I said, you know what? I actually dig it. Not a bad idea. And then I did say to them, you know, are you worried at all that this is going to mess with Carson's head? And they said, no, absolutely. He knew we were going to make this move. We called him before we did it. You know, we are all in on Carson. Look at the contract. Look at what we traded up to get him. Look at the fact that we let Nick Foles go. And 100%, it messed with his head over the last year. And it sent him into a downward spiral, and he couldn't get out. So now he goes to Indy. He's got coaches he knows, multiple coaches he knows. He's got good young targets. He's got an excellent offensive line. They got to replace Anthony Costanzo, but otherwise solid. He's got decent tight ends. He's got a good defense. You may be able to win games 14-10 over there. He's the big winner here, and now all that stuff, he gets to clear his mind, and we'll see if Frank Reich can inject some positivity and get his confidence back up.
Mike, want to jump around to a few other spots, but you're pretty tight to the situation. We know that, and the thought, and quite frankly, I don't know Carson Wentz. We had him on the show once. We watch him all the time when he plays, and we talk about when he plays well and when he doesn't and whatever, but so I don't want to character assassinate the young man, but there's a thought that, you know, there's not a softness. That's not the right way to frame it, but maybe not a delicacy or fragility to his mental state, and that he may or may not be a great teammate. I mean, that's been out there for a couple of years. So is it just the physical stuff, or is it other stuff that Carson Wentz has to disprove at this point?
Yeah, no, I think there's, you know, it'll help to have a fresh start, and it'll help to go to a team that was ditched by their quarterback in Andrew Luck, and has been trying to, you know, do the short-term fixes now for a couple of years, and now has got a guy that looks like he could be the long-term fix. So other guys in that locker room will welcome him, and they'll have a clean slate that they'll be able to start with him. He'll get a chance to kind of take any lessons that he learned for guys that, you know, whether it was, you know, he's not a bad guy, but maybe some stuff that he did that was misinterpreted, and, you know, maybe he can learn from that in Philly and do it a little bit differently and understand how guys, might view things that you do a certain way if you're seen as selfish, uncoachable, all these other things that other guys are looking at. You know, I think, yeah, he's got to learn, okay, what went wrong here, and how do I do it this way in Indianapolis? Because he's not a bad guy, and when he's playing well and when things are clicking, there won't be any of those issues, provided he can make that happen.
So we're talking to Mike Garofalo. Good Morning Football weekend. Obviously, he's on all the time, too, but that's a show that I've watched a lot. I've had it on in my office many, many a Saturday throughout the years, plural. Great fun crew. I like what you guys do. Mike's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so Mike, we talked about the Eagles, and we know that the Bears were also looking for a quarterback in free agency. They're probably too far down in the draft, and I don't think they're going to trade up again, given their history of trading up, as we all know with Mitch Trubisky. What do they do at this point?
They swing big and hope for Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson's another guy that I know that they're interested in and have been trying to talk to Seattle about it. And Seattle's strategy so far, at least, has been, we're not even going to entertain this right now. So you try to swing big, and then there's that next tier of guys, and there's the possibility of, look, I don't think it's going to wind up being, you know, 1-2-3 or 1-2-5 in the draft. I think some of these quarterbacks might drift down a little bit, although there's a lot of love for Zach Wilson and his ability.
That's right. Mike, he's a stud, Mike. He's the guy, Mike. He's the guy for the Jets.
Oh, it doesn't shock me he's your guy.
Why? Wait, why? Why?
Because you know, he's got that high-end sizzle, and there are a couple of plays where your eyes are going to pop out of your head, and you know, you're loving that. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't. It'd be big. Just tremendous athletic ability. And tremendous arm strength.
Exactly.
The total package.
Yeah.
I could see you. Like I could see an NFL evaluator saying, all right, well, level of competition, you know, system that he was in, is he like, what's he going to be asked to do on the NFL level? And I could see Mr. Tierney going, nah, give me those three eye poppers. That's my guy right there. And I'm not knocking you, because guess what? Those throws and those plays, some of them were made into tight windows across his body, right? It's just, there is a ceiling there, but NFL evaluators are going to worry about the floor as much as they're going to worry about the ceiling, I guarantee you.
Well, listen, that's cool, but just keep in mind, as they evaluate the floor and the ceiling, keep in mind that anybody that he's thrown to over the past year and a half, none of those guys are playing in the NFL. And that's what I compare him to somebody like Justin Fields, who plays with a litany of players who are going to play on Sunday. To me, that's a big difference. I'm just a Zach Wilson guy. Sizzle or not, I just think he's better, man.
I believe, look, I have not broken down the tape. I haven't had time to do it, nor if I did it, would I trust my opinion over the eyes of guys that do this for a living, in most cases. but my understanding of Fields is there's going to be questions about, you know, is he a product of exactly what you're talking about? Just the kind of almost Dwayne Haskins-esque, where Haskins was just throwing the wide open dudes all the time, somebody listening right now is going, oh, remember? Yeah, there were other plays. There were plays where he made something out of nothing. I've watched the clips and I've seen some of the analysis. I get it. I'm just telling you that they're looking at it saying this guy's not coming off his primary read enough for me to say, oh, this is a guy that's ready for the NFL. This is a guy that's just, you know, with playing around superior talent and excelling because of that. So that's going to be the question mark for him as we head into the, and look, Wilson's lifting up guys who otherwise wouldn't be making certain plays. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from for that. And somebody's going to fall in love with him. That's why I think he's going high.
So who is the next – and listen, it could be Darnold. I mean, who is the next quarterback that's moved?
It could be Darnold. It could be Mariota. I think Vegas is going to wind up keeping Carr, I think, and they look to move Mariota. They're not going to move both of those guys. But that to me could be – now, look, Indy was one of the teams for him, okay? Indy was a possible Mariota destination if the Wentz thing didn't happen. So that could limit him a little bit. Chicago's got to make a move for somebody, and until they get up against it, like I said, they're swinging big. It's not going to be Watson. I mean, Houston, it's a lot of times you get this like, oh, we're not moving them, and you can already see through the cracks and realize that it's just posturing. Right now it's not posturing. I mean, Houston is giving no indication that they are coming off their stance, which is we are not trading Deshaun Watson.
what's the sense then that Deshaun Watson doesn't play in 2021? Because he seems like he's done. I mean, he wiped all his social media. That doesn't mean anything. It's just social media. But what are the chances that Deshaun Watson pulls this nuclear option, so to speak?
I think there's a better chance Deshaun Watson pulls a hamstring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You know? Day one of training camp. Oh, my leg, my back.
I can't play. I'm not available. Can we settle out of court?
My neck and my back.
Yeah, can we settle out of court by trading me?
That way you make your point, right?
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to worry about the fines. They can't fine you. I mean, they could technically could if they feel like you're milking a situation where there is no matter. I mean, we're way ahead of it right now, but it's just my point is it's a lot of money. And it's automatic. It's not like Teak when it was back in your days where you could sit out, you'd come back, and the team would forgive half the money, right? And you'd almost look at it like an investment. Michael Strahan did it. I mean, Strahan did
exactly
it in
right.
2007, and it was $500,000, and they wound up chopping it to $250,000, which he made back, you know.
Yeah, in the postseason. He made it back in the postseason, too, because he went to the Super Bowl and won one. So it didn't even matter.
Right.
And then he signed a huge deal with ABC and Fox, and here he is. It doesn't even matter. It worked out for him.
And guess what? For $250,000, he got to sit out his last training camp, which
that's exactly right.
Penny, as you know.
Which guys who played a decade more would take that every single time.
Yeah. Now, listen, you can't do that anymore. The new collective bargaining agreement means if you sit out – you're fined automatically, and teams cannot forgive the fines.
Yeah.
The owners pushed for that. The players did not push back. And so that's going to – I can't imagine Deshaun Watson sits out a season and gives back millions upon millions upon millions of dollars because it's not just his salary. It's the allocation of the signing bonus that he already received. So it's not just forfeiting money. You're actually giving back money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Listen, been a while. We'll get you back on at some point soon. It's Mike Garofalo. Follow him on Twitter. Obviously, watch him on the NFL Network. And good stuff, man. Nice to have you on the show, Mike. Well done.
All right, boys. Thank you for having me. Great to catch up with both of you.
Likewise.
By the way, just, you know, you could always tell your wife that your barber made a mistake again. So just listen, I'm looking out for you. Somebody who's been doing it. We look very similar. I'm telling you.
I know, and but you know, at some point I could pull the old "it's my head."
Yes.
Line, but then she'll say, "I want your head on a platter." So I just, you know,
they already have it. Hey, dude, the moment we say "I do," it's already on a platter. That's for damn sure. All right, Mike, good stuff. Thanks, buddy. Stay safe.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and really, that's a good show. Robinson's on that show. I like a lot of the things NFL Network does, but that weekend, you know, GMFB weekend is strong, and Mike's a big part of that. Good stuff. All right, so coming up here, I know it's not the most interesting thing to talk about, but there is an adjustment to the salary cap, and with so many teams in salary cap hell, there's a good chance this will impact your team and probably a little bit more favorably than you thought. So we'll get to that coming up next. Then we'll get to the Tatis stuff, a 14-year deal. Preemptively brilliant or just flames waiting to come down the road? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here on this Thursday. No TV today, so we're just rolling old school. All of our great affiliates, you know, we appreciate you across the country. 150 Tiki and Tierney affiliates here on CBS Sports Radio. Back on TV tomorrow, but no TV simulcast today, so that component is not there, if you were wondering. Why we're not on TV. A little soccer action, I think. But that was good with Garofalo. We hit a lot of different things there with quarterback carousel, a little more in depth. He is, he started as an insider. He's kind of morphed more into an analyst with insider chops. So I think his role's expanded. But still, I think that was pretty good. We got a chance to get a sense of what he's thinking, what he's seeing. And now we get a sense of, at least on some level, Teak, the skeleton for a salary cap, because it is impossible. And we already saw a few guys cut today. Starting cornerback was cut. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to even remotely structure your offseason plans when you don't have, you know, when you're throwing darts at a financial board trying to guess what the number's going to be, not only the ceiling, but the floor. And the clarity that we gained today pertains to the floor, which is important for a lot of teams.
Yeah, it is, because that's the the perceived number, and teams should probably focus on that number. Now, it's a little bit confusing or misleading, I guess, the best way to describe it, if you say there's a floor, because people think, well, that's the minimum that teams have to spend.
No.
But
just
it's not.
How
it's
low
actually,
the salary cap could be.
Well, it's what the salary cap is, but it won't go any lower than that.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you say it's a floor, because some leagues have like a minimum you have to spend on salary, like Major League Baseball. So when you say floor, it's like, oh, it's going to be between, you know, 180 and 200. Like, no, the salary cap, and for all intents and purposes, right now is $180 million. It's probably going to land somewhere around 185 or so, depending on, you know, as revenues, you know, get fully accounted for. But regardless of what it is, it's not going to be $198.5 million, which is what it was for 2020. So it's a precipitous drop, especially considering that over the last at least 5 years, might even be more than that, the cap has gone up at least $5 or $10 million every single year. And so to have a retraction now makes it not only difficult to sign free agents, but to like manage your existing cap numbers, especially if guys have accelerators in their cap numbers year over year, which most teams do, right? You sign a long-term deal, you know, like 1 year you make X, next year you make X, you know, plus 10 or 15 or 20%, whatever it may be. And so that's why you are seeing some of these veterans get cut. Their contracts are too big. And so I guess giving clarity helps, but it also creates a lot of new free agents, because there are going to be, you know, guys that are just being released. I think some of them will, you know, try to restructure because they don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But this is it's still very dicey as it pertains to the finances in the NFL for 2021.
No question. Here's the Cliff Notes version. If you were in salary cap hell yesterday, you're still in salary cap hell. All this does is it's a roadmap to a little more specificity. How do you say that word? That you used to say?
Yeah, I know.
Specificity. No, that's not it.
Specificity.
That's
yeah,
it.
There you go.
It gives you a little more of that along the way here. Now, keep in mind, they agreed, all right, based on the pandemic. The NFL and the NFLPA agreed that the 2021 cap would be no lower than 175. That was agreed upon last year. So when we now get the news, as we got today, that the salary cap would be no lower than 180. That's why I use the term floor. Obviously, understanding that it's not you don't have to spend that. Just it, but it bumps from 175 to 180. Could it theoretically bump from 175 to 182 or 180? Yes, it can. But to your point and to my point, it's not going from 175 to 209 or 175 to 197.
Yep.
So if your finances are really, really out of whack, I do believe there's been a bit of a misrepresentation as to what this means to those teams. It's not nearly as much of a life preserver as people think. It's just a little more clarity.
Yeah, it is.
That's all it is.
It's more clarity, and that's why we're going to see a bevy of moves that are going to happen. So, you know, the challenging thing now becomes once March 17th happens, like these deals, it's going to be hot and heavy to get these free agents in and signed, because And negotiation, I think, is going to be like really intense, because some of these players that are heading into free agency, and I'll just give you a couple, you know, that jumped to mind from the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, Shaq Barrett, Chris Godwin, etc. They're looking to break the bank, right? This is their first chance.
Yeah.
Shaq Barrett is what, 6 years in, 7 years in, something like
Let's
that.
Let's see, first 4 year, four years two. In Denver. Was it four?
I think it was four.
I guess it would have been four.
I think it was four, and then he signed a 1 year deal or 2 year deal with Tampa.
Yep.
So six. So this is his seventh year, right? He hasn't made any money. You know what I mean? He's made money, but not like break the bank. You know, $12 to $15 million a year money. This is his year to do it. And if you're Shaq Barrett and you're looking at, you're trying to find a team that has salary cap space, that's not going to be easy. Chris Godwin's the same way. So it's going to be hot and heavy from a player standpoint. Like, I got to be the first to sign my deal with whatever my new team is going to be or my existing team, because after they sign someone else, there's not going to be any cash left.
That it's going to be a race.
Yes. Exactly.
And it always, you know, it's generally a race for the top players anyway, but this is going to be a mad dash sprint. And speaking of the teams that will be in a good position to sprint, You got, let me hit you from two angles here. The,
go ahead.
The five best positions with cap and the five worst, all
okay.
right? You got the Jaguars. And again, these are rough estimates. The Jaguars have that.
If I'm a player, I am running to the Jaguars.
No kidding.
Right, seriously.
You no,
got,
I hear you,
You
man.
Got Trevor Lawrence coming in?
Yeah. Come,
forget that. No, that's where I want to be.
A lot of stuff. Plus, a good Robinson's a terrific running back.
Yep.
They got some players, man. Especially if you played for Urban Meyer in the Big Ten mm-hmm. with him or against him in the Big Ten. I mean, that could be a nice pull as well. The Jaguars have around the $80 million. The Colts have around $78 million. That's going to change, but that's where they are now. The Jets
yep.
have around $75 million. That's a little higher than I think it'll be. The Pats, believe it or not, are in a very interesting position to pounce. They've got $68 million, and the Bengals have the fifth most cap space at $45 million. Now the converse, the five worst. You've got mm-hmm. Kansas City. Roughly minus $18 million.
Oof.
You've got now. I know the Falcons made a few moves with their corner in the defensive end today, so I don't know what the adjustment is. But the Falcons going into today were around minus $23 million. The Rams around minus $25 million.
Yeah.
All right, and that includes the Stafford stuff, obviously. The Eagles are minus $41 million. Which is why I might be amenable to trading out of the six spot that we talked about before, kind of get some
yeah.
lower, you know. And the Saints, I know that the Drew Brees retirement's big, but they are minus $65 million in approximation right now. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, think about this. The Saints have 13 players right now with a salary cap hit of over $10 million each.
Yeah.
That's a lot
of players. But, you know, we know this with the Saints because we've seen this with, even though they've done it more effectively as far as negative salary cap, the Rams. They've been going all in. Like, they've been changing, like, extending contracts, making things more favorable for the players because they needed them to stay for another year. You know what I mean? And so the Rams did this. The Saints did this, all trying to capitalize on Drew Brees, you know, in his last couple of years. Can we get that next one? Let's keep this thing going. Let's run it back. Yes, it's going to put us in salary cap purgatory, but let's keep running it back. And eventually it comes to roost, right? The Saints are in a very tough position. Luckily, they might have their quarterback on staff, but they still got to sign him. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
He's not a part of this, you know, negative $65 million that you're talking about.
That's right. And I know the Texans aren't in great shape either. They're not among the five worst, but depending upon what they do with Deshaun, I mean, there's a lot of things out there where you can probably make the outside of a strike, labor strife, either side, you could probably make the case this will be the most complex, interesting offseason maybe in 20 or 30 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with
don't,
you.
It's probably a little prisoner of the moment, maybe, but I don't know. I've looked at this from a lot of angles, and there's a lot of complicated, jagged edges for a lot of teams that they're going to have to navigate. But, you know, we're not going to throw too many numbers at you. Wanted to give you a snapshot of what's what. You kind of know where your team sits in terms of having some flexibility or not. Restrictions, and there you go. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Coming up next, 14 years. He's 22 years of age, and he's awesome. Tatis got a 14-year deal. Is it brilliant, or is it financial suicide? We'll get to that coming up. We'll talk long-term contracts, the merits both ways, after Axe Update right now. Yeah, this weekend, college hoops action on CBS starts on Saturday. A little SEC matchup, Kentucky taking on Tennessee, the Cats and the Vols. Then on Sunday, a colossal top 10 matchup. It's in the Big Ten when Michigan goes on the road to take on the Buckeyes of Ohio State. So two big college basketball games coming up Saturday and Sunday, one each day, beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Eastern, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, pardon me. The road to the Final Four continues on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of madness, I was texting with our buddy Rothstein earlier today. I had to tell him a couple things here. Wait, let me get my phone. Hang on a sec, T. So, because it was just charging on the other side of my office. So, I had to text John a couple things, and he's a nut job. He says, let's see where his is. He says, I've already got... he said, I already have my top 45 done for next year.
Meaning the 2022 season?
Correct. With projections that will be amended with each personal loss and or addition. He is on it. He's on it. All right. The Padres are on it. They're on the hook for a lot of money, for a lot of years, for an absolutely awesome, transparent player, transcendent. And not only transcendent player, but a transcendent player who... Not every transcendent player is going to put butts in the seat. As odd as that sounds, it's true. Not every transcendent player actually puts fans there. He is. He's in the middle of the diamond. You can't take your eyes off him. The style just drips off him. From his hair to his body language to the way he plays the game to the bat flips to the never-ending flowing of talents. Teague, I actually think this is a brilliant move on the part of the Padres.
Yeah.
To give him 14 years.
Look, they're trying to... first of all, they're trying to be relevant in the West. They're trying to put themselves in playoff contention and potentially win a World Series and combat the evil Dodgers empire. And this is the way to do it. And it makes sense because of how early this is done. And we've talked about this a couple of times, how arbitration is being bought out. Like these kids aren't even getting to it. So it's not even a debate about their value. Not that I don't think that would necessarily hurt the organization, because it always seems to go the organization's way with these arbitration hearings that come out. Mm-hmm. But with Tatis, he wasn't even arbitration eligible, and they're giving him a 14-year deal. And because he's so young, yes, it's a long deal, but this isn't like Mookie Betts getting a long deal that pays him out till he's 40.
Correct.
Right? Tatis is going to be, 36, 35 or so? When his deal is coming towards an end. And so if they do somehow become good enough to beat and compete with the Dodgers and maybe even win a World Series, just like that conversation we had about Mookie Betts, it's worth it, right? You win a World Series after you pay these guys, it's absolutely worth it from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, and I think to maybe further impress upon people who might think that this is reckless, listen, I do understand that there's a limited revenue stream in San Diego, and we're not exactly sure where the finances of the game are going to go once we completely recalibrate post-pandemic. So you do have to factor those things in. But I do want to walk you through a few things that I think should, or a few signings that I think should not only change your opinion as to it not being a cavalier move on the part of the Pods, but actually like a really perceptive move. And I'll give you a couple of names. So back in 2009, the Yankees spent $250 million on Teixeira, on CeCe, and Burnett. They won the World Series, right? So Teixeira at that point was 29 years old. Yankees gave him 8 years, $180 million. Now, he's a switch hitter with power, but he's a first baseman who couldn't run, who, as he aged, had nowhere else to go other than the DH spot, all right? When you compare 8 years, 180, to 14-3, what's the final number on Tatis again? 14 years, 340?
340, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So 8 years, 180 versus 14... 340 for a guy who was 8 years younger, you begin to see why I think that this is very smart. The Twins did something back in 2010 with Joe Mauer. Now, the difference with Mauer is that he's from Minnesota. The thought was, and the way his career is, batting titles, hit 360 one year. I get it. I was a big Mauer fan. But Joe Mauer was a singles hitter, all right? And they gave him 11 years ago, 8 years, $184 million. Just like the Mariners gave Robinson Cano $240 for 10 when he was 31 years of age. Just like the Angels gave Pujols $240 for over 10. And much like the Tigers gave Cabrera $292 over 10. The difference with every one of those guys, Teixeira, Mauer, Cano, Pujols, and Cabrera, is that as they age out, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Even if Tatis, and he will lose some bounce, it's just called the natural aging process, you could go from shortstop to third. You could go from shortstop to the outfield. You could go from shortstop to third to first. This is brilliant because he's going to become what we all expect him to become. And when he does, you won't have to worry about fending off the Dodgers or the Yankees or whomever who comes with that blank check in 7 years when $343 sounds like a bargain.
Yeah.
This is very smart.
No, I think it is. It just sounds so large and big and like daunting. And it feels like it flies in the face of what smart, prudent organizations would do. But let's be real. I mean, they paid Machado a ton of money as well. The Padres have been looking for relevance for a while. And even like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yes.
I forget what the deal was for. They tried. It didn't work. It failed.
Yes. But they wound up getting rid of all the guys.
Yeah, exactly. But they've tried to go down this right route before.
Yes.
And it didn't work out. But that should have told you that, like, they've wanted to do this. They just needed to find the right players, and Machado was one. And because his contract doesn't line up, what you were just alluding to with Tatis, yeah, eventually he ages out of being this elite athletic shortstop. He can go to third because Machado will be on his way out, right? So it's actually really smart how they've timed these long term signings, for this organization. And if they all peak at the right time, mm-hmm. they can compete with the Dodgers.
Listen, they're going for it now. I mean, remember they got Yu Darvish. They traded for Blake Snell. I think Paddock has a really nice bounce back year. They just got Mark Melancon on the cheap, coming out of the bullpen, really cheap deal. I thought that was a pretty good deal. A very good deal for them. Hosmer's a winner. You got Machado. You got Tatis. You picked up Profar. Jurickson Profar. Will Myers is still a pretty good player. Tommy Pham is. I mean, they got a team that to me is captivating, and I think that. Now listen, I don't know that this necessarily matters, but the fact that Tatis's dad played in the bigs and played for a long time. I'm not saying that should be the determining factor. It's not like Fernando Tatis Sr. was a superstar. He was good. And he had a couple good years. His son's a superstar. But the fact that the lineage is there, the family trees connected to the game, speaks to longevity and speaks to a passion for the game. Like Tatis, mm-hmm. his dad, had great passion. And that's why he played as long as he did. It's not like there's any evidence like, I wouldn't be worried about Tatis getting paid and getting lazy is what I'm saying.
No.
I don't fear that at all.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he doesn't come across as that kind of player. He's not lazy as a, let's say he hits a home run or he makes a big play. He's not lazy about it. Like, there's always an urgency and an intensity to how he plays the game. And you can see guys who especially if they're great, like, meaning, I'll give you a perfect example. There was a kid that came through the Giants. His name was Frankie Ferrara. His dad was a stunt man. Like he just worked his way on the team. Like, he had no business being there. Like none.
Frankie Ferrara.
He had no
fullback.
He's a defensive end.
Gotcha.
Had no business being there, but he worked his ass off, and he ultimately made the team. And he played a couple snaps here and there, but like he was a grinder. But he like had to work to be there. Now imagine if. Like he was JPP, just an example, like skill wise, and he had that same work ethic, then the greatness is around the corner. That's when I look at a guy like Tatis, I see that, right? A guy who works his butt off, but also has extraordinarily natural talent. And that's how you find leaders, right? Those become the stars of your teams. And so, yeah, I think the Padres realize that, and they know it because of what we've seen over the last couple of years. He hasn't even played a full season yet because of stoppages and service time in his first year. And they know what they have already. And by paying him early, getting rid of the potential conflicts of arbitration, it keeps everybody happy and it keeps him motivated to be this great dude.
Here's the other thing, too. Yes, I agree with that. And the other thing, too, is that unlike football, I mean, we've talked about, Wentz's contract and giving the money to Jared Goff early. And when you make a financial mistake in baseball, there's an easier way to get out of it. And I'll give you a great example. The Marlins gave Giancarlo Stanton $325 million. And they said, man, all right, Jeter comes in. We got to break this thing down. They got rid of Yelich, which was the wrong move. They got rid of Stanton, which was the right move. But they're also paying the Yankees $30 million of that contract. So even if it becomes a liability, a hindrance, they underachieve, whatever. I'm talking about, 6-7 years down the road. There are ways, because at that point he'll still be in his late 20s. There are ways to entice another team to help you, rid the contract from the books. And the only penalty is money. Whereas in football and the NBA, there's salary caps, there's which restricts wiggle and movement, I should say. And I just think that when you look at Fernando Tatis Jr., And this applies to Acuna, although I do think Tatis will be better. Close, but better. You look at the three, four, five best players in baseball. Obviously, Trout's the gold standard, the platinum standard. Mookie Betts is right there now. And a handful of others, Arenado, et cetera. You know, I just cannot envision, under any circumstance, when this young man learns the pitching tendency or tendencies of the staffs in the NL West, and he learns the ballparks, and he's fully comfortable, and he's fully got his mojo going. I mean, it's not irresponsible to say, I'm not predicting this, but it's not wildly irresponsible to say that for a moment he will be the best player that anybody has ever seen with their own eyes. Mm. And you could be 60 or 70 years of age, and that could apply.
Yeah.
That is not completely implausible.
And so if you are the Padres, is that worth $340 million over 14 years? Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
100%. I agree with you. So, yeah, it's a loud deal because we haven't seen these type of deals except for, you know, there's only been like, what, four or five of them?
In terms of 14-year deals or 10-year deals?
Just like these massive commitments to a player.
Betts, Pujols was 10 years, Cano was 10 years, Mauer was 8, Teixeira was 8 or 9, 8.
Yeah.
No, there's, you know, more in baseball, obviously.
But so Stanton is one. You go back.
DiPietro, 15 years in the NHL.
Machado was 10, Trout was 10, Harper was 10, Betts was 12.
And think about when Trout got his.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be 30 this year, Trout.
Yeah.
So he got his when he was, what, 27, 28?
Yeah.
And now, again, you know, Tatis has a long way to go before he's Mike Trout, because Mike Trout's won multiple MVPs, and the years he doesn't win it, he's basically second every year. I mean, right now, Mike Trout even, you know, remotely replicates the first 10 years of his career. Mike Trout's a top 10 player of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's worth it.
Yes.
Again, and that's what you're alluding to. If you have a guy who is going to be unquestioned is one of the top five or so players in Major League Baseball for a decade plus, it's worth it. That's what this number is worth.
And it's
not necessarily about putting butts in the seats, per se.
That does matter.
It does matter. But it's not. I don't think that's everything. It's also like attention, and are we going to get marquee games, and are sponsors going to be, you know, are suite sales going to increase? Like all those little things.
They all add up.
Exactly, BT. It all adds up over time.
Yep.
And proves to be worth it.
Not to mention your regional television network with advertising there, and obviously the digital stream. So, you know, to attach yourself to a young, electric player like Tatis is brilliant business financially and brilliant baseball business simultaneously. So, just wanted to kind of hit that a little bit. That is you see, 14 years, what are they doing? But you got to look at it in terms of other guys that have gotten 10, 12, 13 years, guys that were older, guys that played first base and were slow. All right, third hour coming up. Back to the Wentz story next. Tiki and Tierney.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.